You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, August 11, 2022. Square 1. To understand the hydrocarbon value chain, start with the basics. Published by Jason Lindquist. The energy industry, everything from oil and gas production and transportation to oil refining, gas processing and NGL fractionation, has a myriad of variables influenced by dozens of factors. It's a value chain so vast you'd think it would be impossible to explain in simple terms. But behind it all is a well-oiled machine for developing the resources that literally fuel our modern economy. And, by understanding what happens each link in the value chain, you can ultimately gain a clearer picture of what's happening in energy markets. In today's RBN blog, we kick off a series aimed at examining and explaining the oil and gas value chain, starting with the upstream world of exploration and production, what happens in production areas, the types of companies that operate in that segment, and the critical role of oil and gas reserves. RBN's blogs are at their best when they convey an understanding of energy markets that is detailed and easy to follow, but not dumbed down. Explanatory blogs have been a staple since our early days, dating back to 2012's Complex Refining 101. These blogs have been particularly important when we've written about a new technology or a project, or when we've expounded on new topics or developing trends in the market, such as clean hydrogen, as we did with HELP. In 2020, carbon capture and sequestration, as we did with the air that I breathe in 2021, and the emerging conflicts between the energy transition and today's energy realities, as we did in Monkey Wrench this spring. Today, we begin a new series of blogs set to explore the entire value chain. This first series will focus on the upstream sector, and future blogs will discuss the midstream and downstream segments. In the upstream segment of the energy industry, E&Ps focus on finding and extracting hydrocarbons. This includes wellsite exploration and development, drilling and completion, as well as gathering and field separation of the recovered crude oil and natural gas. Many of the largest upstream players are independent companies that focus specifically on that segment, names like Occidental Petroleum and Pioneer Natural Resources. But there are also major integrated oil and gas firms, meaning that their operations span the value chain from upstream to retail, such as ExxonMobil, Chevron, and Shell. Sometimes referred to as big oil or supermajors, these are some of the world's largest companies, with a market capitalization in the hundreds of billions of dollars. ExxonMobil had a market cap of nearly $380 billion this week, with Chevron at more than $300 billion and Shell at more than $190 billion. The midstream segment links the upstream and downstream ends of the value chain and is focused on wellhead gathering, transportation pipelines and storage, and processing and fractionation of NGLs. Companies in this category include Enbridge, Enterprise Products Partners, and Kinder Morgan. The downstream segment delivers those commodities or turns them into finished products, such as gasoline, diesel, jet fuel, or petrochemicals like ethylene and propylene, for sale to retailers and end users. Examples of companies in this segment include Marathon Petroleum, Phillips 66, and Dow. Also note that many household items and end products, such as clothing, appliances, toothbrushes, cleaners, and flooring, are derived from petrochemicals. As the song picked to accompany this blog implies, this series is going to start right at the beginning of the value chain, the upstream segment. In the follow-ups to this blog, we're going to look at everything in that segment, from well site development and drilling to gathering lines and field separation. But before we get into all that, let's take a look at the different aspects of the upstream segment, where they fit in the oil and gas supply chain, and what they do. When discussing the upstream segment, it all begins with the hydrocarbons, crude oil, natural gas and NGLs that can be found below the Earth's surface. They are created by the compression of the remains of plants and animals, and not just dinosaurs. Dash in sedimentary rocks such as sandstone, limestone and shale. The rock itself is a product of deposits in ancient oceans and other bodies of water. As layers of sediment were deposited on the ocean floor, plant and animal remains were integrated into the forming rock. The organic material was transformed into hydrocarbons after being exposed to specific temperatures and pressure ranges deep below the surface over millions of years. Oil and gas are less dense than water, so over time they move through the pores in sedimentary rock toward the surface. When the hydrocarbons are trapped beneath less porous cap rock, an oil and gas reservoir is formed. Hydrocarbons are brought to the surface by drilling through the cap rock and into the reservoir to create a pressure relief for the hydrocarbon molecules trapped in the sedimentary rock. Once the reservoir is reached with a drill bit, oil or gas production facilities are constructed and the hydrocarbons can either free flow or be pumped to the surface. If drilling does not result in commercially viable quantities, the well is called a dry hole and is usually plugged with cement and abandoned. The estimated amounts of crude oil and natural gas trapped underground are referred to as reserves and measure the extent to which a company thinks it can economically produce the recoverable oil and gas in an area given current technology and projected expenses and market pricing. Not all hydrocarbons can be economically produced. Reserve estimates are essential to determining what areas will be studied, explored, and developed by the upstream segment. Generally speaking, reserve estimates are broken into three categories. Proved. Reserves that can be recovered with reasonable certainty in future years from known reservoirs under existing economic and operating conditions. They are generally assumed to have at least a 90% chance of eventual recovery and are sometimes referred to as 1P reserves. Probable. Reserves that are considered to have at least a 50% chance of being recovered. The combination of proved and probable reserves is sometimes referred to as 2P reserves. Possible. Reserves that are considered to have at least a 10% chance of being recovered. Proved, probable and possible reserves are sometimes referred to as 3P reserves. Proved reserves can be split into three additional categories. Proved developed producing, or PDP, reserves that are expected to be recovered from currently producing zones under present operating methods. Proved developed not producing, or PDNP, reserves are expected to be recovered from zones that have been completed and tested but are not yet producing, or reserves expected from future stimulation treatments based on similarities to nearby wells. Proved undeveloped, or PUD, reserves that are expected to be recovered from new wells on undrilled acreage, or from existing wells where a relatively major expenditure is required for recompletion. It's important to note that advances in technology can impact those estimates. For example, the advances in hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling caused the U.S. Geological Survey to increase its proved reserves estimate for the Marcellus Shale by 40 times the original estimate. In addition to technology, prices, costs, and existing infrastructure can also influence reserve estimates. That's important because it can affect a producer's financing options through reserve-based lending, or RBL, in which a loan is secured by the oil and gas reserves of the asset to be acquired. The value of the reserves and corresponding RBL are often adjusted throughout the year to reflect any changes in projected commodity prices. To build on what we said earlier, oil and gas producers typically fall into one of the following categories. Independence. In the U.S., these companies develop 91% of the wells and are responsible for producing 83% of the nation's crude oil and 90% of its natural gas, according to the Independent Petroleum Association of America, or IPAA. The largest publicly traded independent E&Ps include Occidental Petroleum, or Oxy, EOG Resources and Pioneer Natural Resources. Global independents, including companies such as Australia's Woodside Energy Group, are often publicly traded on their home country stock exchange. Majors. Major oil companies also have assets, such as refineries and service stations, that bring the products to the end-user customers. These integrated companies, such as the previously mentioned ExxonMobil, have well-known brands familiar to many consumers. Privates. There are a number of privately held E&P companies in the U.S., including Hilcorp Energy, Cent Resources, Aethon Energy, and Mewbourne Oil Company. National oil companies, or NOCs. Companies in this category are owned and managed by governments around the world, such as Sinopec, China, Saudi Aramco, Saudi Arabia, Rosneft, Russia, and Petrobras, Brazil. Much of the world's oil and gas reserves are owned by NOCs. E&Ps typically contract with companies that specialize in drilling, completion, and oilfield services to extract their oil and gas. Very few E&Ps actually have their own fleet of rigs. Here's a little bit about how that process works. Drilling companies. This group typically leases the use of its rigs to an E&P for a specific period of time, as short as a few weeks, or as long as years at a time, at a negotiated day rate. Those rigs are used to carry out the E&P company's drilling plans. The top land drilling companies include Nabors Industries, Patterson-UTI Energy and Helmerich & Payne. The top offshore drilling companies include Valaris, Seadrill, and Transocean. Some companies in the oilfield services group also drill wells. Oilfield services. This group builds the infrastructure and provides the specialized equipment, services and skills needed for exploring, drilling, hydraulic fracturing, testing, producing, maintaining and reclaiming crude oil and natural gas. Although a multi-billion-dollar industry, Companies in this segment are typically only service providers and do not actually own any of the oil and gas assets. Examples include Schlumberger, Baker Hughes, and Halliburton. In the next blog in this series, we're going to start with the basics of well site exploration and development, including how seismic studies are conducted and what they tell you, how drilling and production leases are set up, and how a site is prepared for drilling. Square One was written and performed by Tom Petty and first appeared as the 14th song on Elizabethtown, Songs from the Motion Picture, the soundtrack album for Cameron Crowe's 2005 film of the same name. The LP featured several artists, including Nancy Wilson, Elton John, and Ryan Adams. It was released in September 2005. Square One was nominated for a Grammy Award in 2006 for Best Song Written for a Motion Picture. The song would also appear as the second track on Tom Petty's third and final studio album, Highway Companion. Personnel on the record were Tom Petty on lead, backing vocals, guitars, bass, and drums, Mike Campbell on guitars, and Jeff Lynne on guitars, keyboards, and backing vocals. Highway Companion was recorded in 2005-06 at Bungalow Palace and Shoreline Recorders in Los Angeles, with Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, and Mike Campbell producing. Released in July 2006, it went to number 1 on the Billboard Top Rock Albums and number 4 on the Billboard 200 Albums charts. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. 3 singles were released from the LP. Tom Petty was an American rock and roll musician, singer, and songwriter. He was the leader of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and a solo artist. Petty released 16 studio albums with the Heartbreakers, 3 solo albums, and 68 singles. He also released albums with the Traveling Wilburys and with Mudcrutch. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001 and also have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Petty is also the recipient of a Gershwin Award for Lifetime Musical Achievement, a Billboard Century Award, and an ASCAP Golden Note Award. Tom Petty died in October 2017 at the age of 66.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.